every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
That's not a title we brag about. That's a title we work for. We work hard. Part of that work involves showing up every Saturday morning to answer any question you have about your house, home, castle, or cabin. When you're looking at your crib, your cottage, or your castle, and you're seeing something needs to be nailed, taped, screwed, glued, caulked, or tie-wired, you just start by calling Rosie on the house, and we'll coach you through whatever it is you're trying to get done wherever you live in the great state of Arizona. It's a toll-free number, 1-888-767-4348. Miss Jess will pick up your call, get your name, your question. We'll get you on air and answer your question as quick as we can. In particular, this hour, we're going to be talking about something that you all are going to consider extremely important over the next 6 months. Your air conditioner. And we've invited Rosie Certified Knight Air Conditioning, Mr. Chuck Knight, and we couldn't have Chuck without Carissa. Carissa, thanks for bringing him.
Absolutely. Good morning.
Yeah, thanks for navigating me through the door thing.
So we want to talk through air conditioning. I called Carissa yesterday. I said, how you doing? She said, well, you know, magically, no matter how much time he spends napping on the road through the winter, when it hits 90 degrees, there's no more nap time till Halloween, right?
No, it's crazy.
That's about right.
It's getting pretty crazy
yes,
right now.
Yes.
Now, what do y'all do in the way? And I want to talk a little bit to our Arizona homeowners about things they can do themselves in about around their air conditioning units. But what is y'all's routine for touching base with your regular customers and making sure you know, you're on a regular schedule?
So we have a couple of different things. Our roundtable membership is important because we remind them twice a year, spring and fall. I don't like to give a month because spring and fall. Subjective,
okay.
Right?
All right, okay.
But yes, we will email out our clients. We tend to send some informational emails also in the meantime, reminding people to change their filters. But then when spring comes, I always send out that email that says, hey, the 90s are coming. Check your AC.
Boy,
make
check.
Sure it works.
And it's so important to try and grab their attention and say, check it now, because when it hits 95, 98 and you're turning it on, so is everybody else.
Yes.
And they've all forgotten to check it. So you're going to be in the back or the middle of a very long line.
Yes, that's what I say. Get in line before it's an emergency.
Absolutely.
Let's be comfortable.
Well, Mr. Chuck, how long have you been working on air conditioning, my friend?
Boy, 43 years. Been with you guys 23 of them.
That's right. That's right. A good long time.
It's been a while.
I try to simplify air conditioning and try and explain it to people what it is. You know, it's a gas. We're compressing it and cooling it and passing air over the fins as it evaporates and cools off. And I've tried to explain it many, many times, but it was you and one other Rosie Certified partner that actually corrected me about 15 years ago. I said, Rosie, you're overcomplicating it. All air conditioning is doing is moving heat.
Heat is energy. It cannot be destroyed. You can only move it around.
Okay, so how am I cooling my house by moving heat? Take me through that real quick.
Let me give you the briefest primer I can give you.
Okay, good.
And I got several of my clients who have looked at me and said, doggone, Chuck, that is basic physics. Well, yeah, it is, you know, moving heat. Yeah. If you imagine a hose sitting in your backyard that has a spray nozzle on it, and it's been sitting out in the sun, when you first turn it on, that water coming out of there is blistering hot, yes?
Yes.
If you have a spray nozzle on your hose and you open that nozzle a little bit and the air comes out misty, you put your hand in front of it, it's cool, right?
Right.
That's air conditioning. End of story.
There it is.
You put the hot liquid through a metering device and it changes state from liquid to vapor to gas. And that change of state, it's when it picks up heat. Just like boiling water on a stove, that steam is the heat from the burner that's gone up through the water. The water has absorbed all it can, which has reached what's called saturation.
Yeah.
And then after it reaches saturation, it vents, it changes state into steam, goes up into the atmosphere, and then it changes into air.
Okay.
That's it, folks. And the whole thing is with air conditioning, it does it inside a pressured pipe. That's the end of the story. Exactly that. And the water goes out, it turns into a vapor, goes into the condenser, it's cooled and turns into liquid again, put through the compressor, high pressure. And the funniest part about it is that the subcooled liquid is 150, 180 degrees. The superheated gas is 40 degrees. Is that wonderful? Is that a wonderful, just complete diametric to conscious thinking?
It is.
All super, have subcooled.
The same product under different rates
exactly
of pressure.
Sure. The same, call it media, I guess, would be a good word.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it, folks. See that, you.
That's it right there.
That was it.
All right, we're out.
Hey. We're gone.
So if that's it, why does it take like years of training to be able to work on these mechanical equipment? And it seems like every time you turn around, there's three more wires than the last model used to have, or two more circuits, or three more switches. I mean, it's a very simple thing that we're doing physically, but we're using very complicated equipment to accomplish that.
It is sometimes very complicated to make things simple. And physics is just simple. It's earth science. You got to take this here and move it to there. If you hold this up here and drop it, it's going to hit the floor. Well, that's gravity. If you heat this up and put it next to this, the heat's going to travel to the cool. Heat is energy. It moves. It's kind of alive in a way. So the basic physics of air conditioning are quite simple. Pressure, compressor moving media around and having it change state in one way or another, and the regulation of that. As efficiency is becoming a problem, the old Gettle units were Massey Ferguson tractors on your roof. No efficiency at all, but man, they never failed. They worked forever. They were designed for Phoenix, Arizona.
I think we called them bulletproof.
I believe we did, and we also called them the Iron Horse.
Yeah, right.
They just didn't fail. But they were also terribly inefficient.
I'm always surprised to think back and read history as to when Mr. Carrier actually invented air conditioning, and how long it took to make it into the residential market. But to give him his due, Mr. Gettle is the Carrier of Arizona.
He made Arizona air conditioning a common thing.
He did.
And if you go out in Sun City and see some of the genius work that was done out there, putting a gas furnace in a closet, putting an air conditioner on the side of the house, and using the blower in the furnace to go through the air conditioner, it is genius. Absolutely, it is absolutely brilliant. It's just, you look at it and you go, doggone, I wish I'd thought of that.
Oh,
well,
man.
50 years ago, you might have.
Well, you know, the air conditioning, of course, exploded in Arizona after World War II, and a lot of the soldiers that served, you know, the boys from Chicago kind of came out to Luke Air, and mm-hmm. that's pretty nice out there. I may go back.
In the summertime, it's hotter than the Dickens. Yeah.
So we had a VAP cooling back then.
Sleeping porches.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Don't go there.
Yeah. Yes. So a VAP cooling is a quite a bit simpler degree to understand. You just wet a sheet, hang it in the window, and let the breeze blow through it.
That's air conditioning.
Okay.
That's air conditioning. You are taking a media, putting it up there, putting air across it. It's changing state from water, liquid water, to vapor. And when it changes state, it picks up the heat and takes the heat away. So you feel the cool. There's no such thing as cool. Cold does not exist. Cold is the absence of heat.
Okay.
So you take the heat away, you got cold.
Well, are y'all still servicing evap coolers? Are they still out there?
I'm one of the very few people in the air conditioning business that will go out and do evap coolers. I teach my guys this stuff.
Wow.
You cannot make a dime doing evaporative cooling.
No, there is just, it's just a public service.
It is just a labor intensive, and you cannot charge what you need to charge. You send an AC tech out to fix an evaporative cooler, you are just absolutely, it's like a pool or a sports car or a Harley. You just got a pitchfork and a dollar bin, and you're shoving the dollars towards it. Just all there is to it. You know,
well,
same thing.
When we post in our newsletter what we're going to cover, a lot of times we'll get advanced text in for people that have questions. Mm-hmm. And we do have a question from a Cesario who is replacing a 4,000 CFM cooler on his house. Mm-hmm. And he's been made aware that there's actually a 4,600 CFM. Is just a bigger, more powerful blower with a 600 CFM. He just wants to know, should I consider upsizing?
there are so many factors involved in that. If there is ductwork, you can play some games. If it's a straight just dump into the house cooler, like
side
some
draft,
dealers, exactly so. You got a side draft cooler coming into a hole in the side of the house. The way you control airflow is where you open windows in the different rooms.
That's right.
Give it
a place to go.
Exactly so. Now, what you can do on that is you can put in a 4600 cooler and you choose this. Well, you pick the size, the nominal CFM. A 4800 CFM cooler is actually delivering about 3,000 to 3,100 under zero static, which is a joke. It's nominal. It's like the new 5-ton air conditioners. They're not 5 tons. They're not 60,000 BTUs. They're 54 or 55,000, which is 4.5 tons. And I want to slap the engineer that said, oh, let's get this qualified as a 5-ton. Then you do your manual J and you've got your half a ton short. You go, exactly how did that happen?
Well, when we started flipping from a vap cooler to air conditioning, it really required a look at the duct. Well, one, a lot of the ductwork was rusted out because of the vap cooler. But, I mean, it's a completely different duct system.
The duct system on an evaporative cooler is huge because you're moving a lot of CFM, cubic feet per minute of air. And so they allowed for that. When you replace that with air conditioning, you have got to regulate that flow somehow. You also, in most cases, have to insulate the ductwork. If the cooler was working properly and did not rust out all the sheet metal ductwork, I know. That, just point and laugh. It's okay. I get it. It's all right. But if under the unusual circumstance that the ductwork is still solid and sound, you have to be able to up the airflow of the air conditioner enough to pressurize the ductwork, and you have to change the registers in the rooms where you can actually control what's called the throw, how far the air actually comes out of the register before it kind of dissipates. So you can control what's called OBD. Registers, which is opposing blade damper registers. You can alternate with it. You can not alternate, adjust with a screwdriver and control the volume of air coming out of it. So you can pressurize the system and then kind of tweak it to cool the various rooms in an appropriate manner. But that's how you make up for the big ducts with evaporative versus air conditioning.
Well, there it is, a basic introduction to the topic of air conditioning. And when we're going to take a short break here, we're going to come back and start talking about now the air conditioner in your house. What are some of the do-it-yourself things you can do to kind of spot check the health of your system? We'll be doing that with Chuck and Carissa Knight of Knight Air Conditioning right here at Rosie on the House. Rosie on the House here this hour answering any question you might have about not only cooling, which is going to be the most critical component of your air handling equipment the next 6 or 7 months, but heating as well as indoor air quality. Let's talk a little bit about the importance of the filter. How do y'all educate a homeowner about proper filtration?
Fear.
Carissa, I know you've got some opinions on this.
Oh,
no,
I do.
It's fear.
I don't think so.
Yeah, oh no. Amanda is scared. Chuck's coming. We could have changed the filter yesterday. She's still putting a new one in.
I got there to your house, and that filter is as clean as it was came out of the package. I looked at it. Oh, come on, Amanda. Really? Yeah, that's true.
One of our technicians always checks the trash bin when he walks up to see if there's a dirty filter.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yes. There's a story about that. We have about 3 minutes sometime. I'll tell you the story either on or off air.
So filtration. Let's take everybody through the basics.
So a lot of people think that the filter is there to protect you and the air that you're breathing, and it can be, but primarily it's there to protect the machine. What we want to do is we want to filter all the particulates that are passing across that coil, because if they stick to the coil, it reduces the efficiency of the heat exchange.
That's right.
It interferes with the heat exchange.
Yeah, so we want to make sure that filter is not restricting airflow. Check it once a month. In most cases, we're going to need to change that once a month. But if you have an extraordinarily clean house, no pets, you might go a little longer than that. We'd like to see customers using a MERV 8 or something less restrictive than that to allow air to pass freely over the coil and keep all those, again, particulates that are naturally in your house, pets and other things, dust, from sticking to that coil.
Is there a filter product? We've got the spun fiberglass, mm-hmm. we've got the paper, we've got the mm-hmm. paper pleated, mm-hmm. we've got the monofilament. Of course, then we can get electronic. But I mean, generally speaking,
What filter are you recommending to be at a MERV 8?
Yeah, at a MERV 8, the most common is a paper 1-inch pleated.
Open pleat.
Yeah.
Not the real tight ones, like the, like those M3, the 3M deals.
Right.
If you, you know, anybody with any farmer smarts, and Romy, I know where you live, but so out in the horse country, if you have animals and stuff like that, you get these pleated filters that have this super tight together. They have these, they're like a MERV 12 or whatever they are. They are wonderful if you're asthmatic and you're going to change it every 2 days, you know, and you're so particulate sensitive that you can hardly breathe. But what they do is they clog fast. So put those pleats close together, and the dirt and the hair and stuff clogs up at the front end of them. And all this filter material in here that they're bragging about, oh, I got 100 yards of filter material. Yeah, but you got 10 inches of it that open to air. You know, it's a great looking thing. It makes you feel all warm and fuzzy that you did good. You didn't.
Okay. So the filter's there to protect the equipment. Again, when I'm trying to explain air conditioning, I think, you know, you look at the front of your car, the radiator. You know, the engine's being cooled by water passing through all those little fins, mm-hmm. and the heat's dissipating. The same thing's happening in your air conditioner. You've got little bitty fins that are much closer together. And as the pet hair, as the dander, as the pollen, as the dust passes over those, the static electricity tends to make it stick.
Right.
That's the filter's job. Make sure that air contaminant, whatever it is, mm-hmm. isn't getting to those fins.
Right. And the thing about the fiberglass filters and stuff, those are made to keep small animals and children out of the air conditioner. That's about all they do.
Yep, it is. Just, I agree. So once we've got the habit of changing the filter, and you've got, let's talk about a split system first. We've got mm-hmm. the indoor air handler and the outdoor condensing unit. Mm-hmm. Is there anything, what should I do out there at that condensing unit? Can I hose it off every once in a while to clean those fins?
I do.
Of course you do.
Okay.
You're an air conditioner gal. Of course you do.
I asked, should I?
Okay. Now, there's a caveat to that. Remember that the condensing section is pulling air through the coils and blowing it out the top, most cases.
Right. You know that by putting your hand over the fan. The heat's
yes.
just blowing straight up.
Exactly so.
So let's shade it with a plywood cover.
I'm going to pretend you don't have 50 years at this and accept that suggestion as a no. Don't do that.
Do not cover that.
Do not do that. Okay. These things are made to work in open air and unrestricted. If it's sitting under an eave, you might want to do some air direction to get it out from cavitation. Cavitation means that air blows against something and it turns circles. It turns corners.
Yeah, it turns right back, back around. Yeah.
Exactly. It goes right back through the condenser. So you're not getting the heat transfer that you're getting from 140 to 100 degrees, and then it comes off there at 100 degrees, 130 degree day. Well, 100 degree day. And the heat that you're taking out of the house adds 30 degrees to that. So you got 130 degrees. Now, getting that from the 100-degree air and getting rid of the 130-degree air is okay, fine. But if you take that 130-degree air coming out and it cavitates and goes back in the coil, all of a sudden you're not going 130 to 100 degrees. You're going 130 to 120. And the heat transfer goes away. And then you're running the air conditioner longer and harder than it needs to run. You're not going to ever hurt an air conditioner by running it. They're very happiest when they're being run. They are cooled. They are lubricated. All the fun stuff is done. All the coils are activated. Everything is doing what it's supposed to be doing. What they don't want to do is start and stop.
Start and stop. Oh, man, that's so true. So lesson number one, folks, do-it-yourself air conditioning. Make sure if you're in a split system and you've got that outside condensing unit, make sure it's free of any obstruction. It must breathe, and breathe heavy, and breathe a lot.
All of the above.
And
now, do weeding.
And we'll talk about, and do weeding.
Do weeding.
And don't let the dogs
relieve
themselves on it.
Please don't.
All right.
On the House Hour with Chuck Knight of Knight Air Conditioning and Carissa Knight, we are taking homeowners through the basics of air conditioning. But if you have a question or would like to join the conversation about air conditioning, 1-888-767-4348, 1-888-ROSIE-4U. And text questions can be sent to 411-923. Just like this one, my AC seems to produce higher humidity than before. The tech has found no issue, no water in pan or drain. What could be causing this?
No water in the pan or drain. Something is not right. If the house is humid, First off, if there are people that like it 80, 82 degrees, they're not going to get a whole lot of dehumidification. That's just, you know, folks, it has to run to take the water out of the air. My thinking on that is if it's an R410 refrigerant system, the superheat is not correct. If it's an R22 system, the superheat is not correct. Did I say subcooling?
Yeah.
You said superheat.
Okay, in an R410 system, excuse me, the subcooling is the issue. It needs to be roughly 10 degrees plus or minus 3 on most systems. That is what controls the amount of refrigerant in the system, and it controls the amount of heat it can absorb and move. R22 system, it's a superheat that shows you the temperature of the refrigerant coming out of the evaporator and how much heat it has picked up. If there is no moisture in that pan and you got a 20%+ humidity outside or 30% outside, there is an issue somewhere.
And for a family of four, and we're just pre-monsoon, we're in the dry season, what should an air conditioner stabilize the indoor humidity? What range would you be looking for?
35 to 50 is pretty much accepted.
Yeah.
And that's comfortable breathing. You won't wake up with a chalky mouth. You know, you won't have to clear your throat all the time. It makes it much easier.
And the furniture's happy.
And the doors will open and close appropriately. Yeah, yes, and don't slam when they close instead of stick in the winter and slam in the summer. Yeah.
As a homeowner, how do I know if my system is R22 or 410?
Well, first off, you ask your AC guy. We will thrill to death to tell you. Most of the time you go out and look at the condensing section nameplate. It'll tell you right on there how many pounds of what refrigerant it takes. And if it's more than, 14 or – boy, I don't want to step in this, but it's somewhere around 40, if it's more than 14 years old and it's not a carrier. Carrier's been using R410 for a very long time. They call it Puron. Well, and Puron is 410.
Let's get back to the conversation. Let's get back to the conversation. We were talking a little bit about in a split system where the air handler and the heating core is in a closet in the hall.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the separate unit outside. We've already talked about let that baby breathe.
Mm-hmm.
But we were just getting ready to talk about whether or not to clean those coils. And I know you have a very specific protocol to coach people through that. Let's give them some Chuck Knight professional tips here.
Okay. If you're artsy-fartsy and you're okay with tools in your hand, take the top of the air
and
conditioner.
And the unit is on the ground.
It's on the ground. Yes. Stay off of the roof. Do not mess with my air conditioner on the roof. I'll take care of it for you. But on the ground, if you want to do some maintenance, you take the fan motor out. You loosen the screws. You tip the fan motor out of the cabinet. Take a low-pressure hose and from the inside shoot it out through the coil. Start at the top and work your way down. When you see the amount of dirt and brown water that comes out of it, it will knock your socks off. You go, well, they look all bright and shiny.
That's right.
What's coming out of there, fella.
Oh, man.
You know? But you hose it backwards like that gently. Do not high-pressure it, especially with the spine fin coils that trained American Standard use. They are tremendous heat sinks, but they also are a little bit fragile to high-pressure water. Do never, ever, ever use a car pressure washer on your coils. Period. Don't do it. Just don't. You'll be paying a lot of money.
Not even a spray nozzle on the end of the hose. Just rinse it off with the open hose.
An open hose is the very best, or the fine mist nozzle held close, but because that's still, by the time it gets out there, the pressure is dissipated.
All right.
But no high volume, high pressure.
But you do not stand on the outside of it and wash it in.
You're pushing the dirt into the coil.
Yeah.
And that's going to interfere with airflow and heat dynamics.
That's a pretty critical component of repair and maintenance. Okay,
you do home maintenance. And by the way, be careful when you take the fan in and out that you don't bend the blades, because then you'd be paying me a bunch of money to come out and twist a blade.
I'm not brave enough to remove the cap. When I do mine, I do not take the top off. I just spray right between the little blades.
Because you've been doing this for 40 years.
All right.
I'm sorry. You're not that old. Sorry. Forgive me.
Let's talk to people about how they might be able to just spot check the condition of their air conditioner. Explain to us what Delta T is and how a homeowner might monitor that.
Delta T is because the fourth letter of the Greek alphabet is a triangle, and it's a D. So they use that as a temperature D, temperature differential, is the difference between the temperature of the air in the ambient and the temperature of the air after it goes through the machine. Outside the ambient temperature, 100 degrees, you know that so you can check the pressures that it's going through the coils outside. Inside, it should be anywhere between 18 to 20, maybe 26 degrees if you've got a really, really good system. But at 26 degrees between the air going in, the air in the house, and the air coming out the registers, you might have a little bit of a low airflow issue. So there's things that you talk to your qualified technician about, and all of us know this. You know, kids right out of school pretty much know this. So you just pay attention to the differential across the indoor coil and across the outdoor coil. The outdoor coil in the summertime should gain about 30 degrees. The air conditioning coil on the inside should shift about 20, I get between the 18 and 20, call it 24 to be really, get it in the numbers. 18 to 24 is where you're happy.
And for a homeowner, can I just go to Ace Hardware and buy the little stick thermometers that have the dial face on them? Stick one in the return air and one in a supply.
Yes.
And then read the different what's yes. going in and what's coming out.
And you can disappoint yourself tremendously by going from register to register because they're not any yeah, two right. of them going to be the same.
Yeah. You know, so where, what supply, would I put it in a supply register closest to the unit or farthest?
I would stick it in the filter and then I would go to the farthest register away okay. and see what it is. If it's in that 18 to 24, pat yourself on the back, say you did good, call your air conditioner guy and say, it's been fun talking to you, don't come. I take that back. I didn't say that. I did not say that.
Do your regular maintenance.
Call us for your regular maintenance, but you know it's okay right now.
Well, you mentioned just a minute ago the compressors and the fact that, you know, the origination of the compressors when they were single speed mm-hmm. and they were the Massey Ferguson tractors.
Exactly so.
You know, they've come a long ways. Now they're multi-stage, they're variable speed. Mm-hmm. And that has done a lot to increase the efficiency. I mean, we were happy back in the 70s and 80s. We hardly even knew what a SEER rating was. But, yeah. I mean, if we had a SEER rating of 7, boy, we thought we were on top of the world, right?
And then you were.
And then we were. And they've taken these things to the upper teens.
Yes. Yes.
And, I mean, you can simply replace a 15-year-old air conditioner, a 10-year-old, and not change one other thing. And with the increased efficiency of the unit, you could save 25% on your cooling.
Yes. And that, by the way, congratulations on being conservative with that. It's usually better than that.
Yeah. So, I know you can hear a lot of commercials about what you can
yes,
say.
Yes, you can.
But in my experience, you're generally, just with the increased efficiency of the unit, mm-hmm. picking up about 20 or 25%.
And the special thing about the variables is a lot of the subcooling and stuff like that are not as important as they used to be because the new ones cruise. They don't burn 1 watt of electricity that's not moving a BTU of heat you need to move. And if you got the unit sized properly, that air conditioner might not turn off for days and days and days. It might just cruise at the heat load of the house, but it's running at such a low level that your electric bill is just not an issue.
Well, and he mentioned before that where we get a lot of energy draws at the starting and stopping, that's where the wear gets put on the unit.
Spikes, yeah.
When we stop that starting and stopping because it's continuing, mm-hmm. we alleviate a lot of the wear and tear.
It's so counterintuitive. We get so many calls during the week. Rosie, June, July, mm-hmm. my air conditioner never turns off. I'm driving. I said, great.
Yes.
That's perfect.
Yes. That's exactly right. Is the temperature where you have it set? Yes. Shh. Don't say another word. Be happy, go out and pat it on the butt when you walk by and say, you're doing good, see you later, bye. You just leave it alone. It's doing what it's supposed to be doing.
So if it's supposed to be running all the time, should I, put a candle in front of the thermostat? That way it just never, tricks it, never.
Go ahead, son, do that. You'll be seeing me. Amanda and I will get to know each other even better than we do. So, yeah, that's okay. Just do that. the thermostat should be 5 feet off the ground, as close to the return as you can get it. And in a perfect world, when you use the air purification systems, a lot of times when you have the newer systems and have the variable speed indoor blower, you don't ever turn the fan off. You turn the fan on at the and you just leave it alone. And when it calls for cooling or heating, it ramps up to full speed. And in the meantime, it runs at about half speed. It costs almost nothing to run. and you're moving air across that air filter, you're averaging the temperature in the house, you're evening up all the temperatures between the rooms.
Eliminating hot and cold rooms and spots.
Exactly. So the counter to that, the one, there's only one negative in there, and that is the fact that in the summertime, that can raise the humidity a little bit if you're in that 78 to 80 degree level. If you're in the 76, 74, or heaven forbid cooler than that, and please call Chuck Knight Air Conditioning to replace that air conditioner, big boy. whatever you do with that, the airflow is continuous and it averages out the temperatures. And if you set it properly, you can adjust the newer units. And that's one of the reasons that you hire a qualified technician, a guy that actually knows how the variable speed motors work, how to control humidity, how to control temperature shift, all those things. A qualified tech will know these things and can answer your questions right in front of you.
Well, let's see how we can do it over the air. It's a little bit more complicated, but let's bring Rob into the conversation. Good morning, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning.
Question. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I've got a house that's about 4 years old. It's a new build. It was a spec home I bought, and I've had consistent problems. It's 2,200 square foot home, one unit, but it's got three zones. And since I've owned the house, I've had to replace the coils in the air handler twice because they were leaking. One was covered by warranty from the builder, and then just last year it was. The outside coil was leaking, and as we turned on the air conditioner this year, before I have my annual service out next week, I'm sensing it's not cooling again. I'm guessing. I'm not an expert at it.
All right. Well, hang tight. We'll take this commercial break to think about it and have an answer for you right after this. All right, so we just took the question from Rob, having a heck of a time with his air conditioning equipment, fairly new home.
Rob, are you with us?
I am, yeah, thank you.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, my question again is just like, when do you just say enough is enough?
Well,
I've never replaced the system, yeah.
You're certainly approaching that. What brand is the system, if you don't mind telling me?
It's a Lennox. Lennox.
Okay. When you got the house, did you register the equipment, or did your builder register the equipment? Because if he registered the equipment, most of the time there's a 10-year parts warranty on that. And if you can find out about that, do some research there. Talk to your AC guy and say, is this a 10-year warranty? And if it is, follow up with that. But honestly, goodness, losing an outdoor coil and an indoor coil, it pains me to say this, but you might consider replacing the system, putting something of a different brand on there. You know, I'm sorry to say it like that, but when you've lost two coils and in the outdoor coil it leaks as well, there's something going on there. There was a bad run of copper on that day or whatever, but you should never have those problems. That is just not in the first 5 years. That's a 10, 15, 18-year issue.
So – we have a number of calls here, and
they're loaded up.
But do keep us posted, Rob, because like Chuck said, find out if that's registered, because that's going to be huge. Brian, customer of Chuck Knight, is hearing gas through pipes inside. Now, these are callers, but because this is our final segment, I'll just ask the questions. I think I've got enough detail here. We don't need to bring them on air, but he's hearing gas through the pipes inside. But okay. Nothing is leaking.
A lot of that, no, it's not. That does not indicate a leak. What that is the conversion of the liquid refrigerant into gas. There's a transition there, and if the pipes are run inside the wall acts the if they nailed it and secured it to the 2x4 support structure. Studs is the word I was trying to find and couldn't. If it's secured to the studs, it acts like a sounding board on a piano, and there's almost nothing to do about that except rerun the piping. And if the noise is that irritating, then we can do something about it. But other than that, that's really, it's just endemic to the situation. You're taking pressurized liquid and moving it inside of pipes against a wooden thing that echoes through the wall. It's just, that's all there is to it. I'm sorry to say.
All right, Wendy, is it bad to close off registers and rooms you don't use?
On the rooms that you are not using and the doors stay closed, close the registers down about 80%. You need to be able to put your hand underneath the closed door when the air conditioner is running and feel air coming out of it. You need to ventilate the room some. It causes stress on the sheetrock, on the doors, on everything else when you close them off entirely, because then you get humidity buildup, you get temperature shift, and it stresses the sheetrock and it stresses the paint and it stresses the wood.
Charlie, are soft starts worth the money? So first, what is a soft start?
A soft start is a run capacitor and a potential start relay, either in two separate pieces or in a combined unit. Yes, the cheapest money you'll ever spend in the life of your air conditioner. Well, changing your filters. Beside that, the best money you'll ever spend on your air conditioner is getting a hard start or a soft start kit. Best money you'll ever spend.
And when you say best money, what are they?
It eliminates the strain and stress and the high amp draw when the unit starts up. It's like yanking the starter rope on your lawnmower.
But I mean, when you say investment, is this a $500 investment, $1,000 investment?
Usually between depending on the size of the air conditioner, between $250 and $400 in that round number bracket.
Matt wants to know what to do here. He's got air conditioning was dirty, but he replaces the filters regularly. What else can he do?
Have your air conditioner checked for leaks in the ductwork. Not your air conditioner, forgive me. Have your ductwork checked for some sort of a draw in the return somewhere that wasn't sealed properly. It's pulling attic air or outside air. But if you're getting dirty coils and you're good about changing your filters, there are return pipe issues or return air issues. Have them checked by your EC guy.
Very good. Carissa, tell us about Knight Air Conditioning again. Y'all available for service where?
We serve the entire metropolitan Phoenix area. We do sell filters on our website, and you can get them individually or on repeat. If you just go to our website and look at the shop,
you can see the website.
www.knightairconditioning.com. We're not trying to fool anybody. We're right there.
Yeah, no jokes here, folks.
No.
And your phone number.
602-440-4000. First time.
Hey. Did good, hon. You did good. I goofed every darn time I try.
Chuck and Carissa Knight. Knight Air Conditioning has been Rosie certified for over 20 years. We continue to get accolades from the customers he services. I want y'all to know I appreciate y'all's commitment to customer fairness and satisfaction. Y'all do a great job.
Thank you.
And we appreciate it here.
We love our Fords.
We love our Fords.
We got a bunch of them. We love them all.
All right. Very good. So that's the basics on air conditioning and a few things you can do yourself to kind of spot check the condition of your air conditioner and also properly maintain it. The season's coming. You're going to be running that baby pretty regularly here for about the next 6 months. So let's take care of it. We always hear how old an air conditioner, how long can an air conditioner last? And you hear some advertisements where you need to be checking it after 8 to 10 years. Chuck, I've seen a lot of 20-year-old air conditioners.
You maintain anything, it's just like your car. You know, my motorcycle's almost 40 years old. My car's almost 40 years old. An air conditioner will last almost as long as you treat it with love.
We have a special request. The last 15 seconds is yours, Carissa.
Hi, Tiny. Hi, Mom. Hi, Grandma.
Say something.